WCF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Israel pounds Gaza, a response to the sweeping Hamas attack that Prime Minister Netanyahu promises will change the Middle East. CBS's Holly Williams.
We are about 2 miles from the border with the Gaza Strip, and we have been hearing incoming rocket fire here, forcing our team to scramble for cover not long ago. Now, Israel's military says that after 2 days of fighting, it has now retaken control of border areas close to Gaza. But it admits that individual militants are still operating.
The death toll is approaching 1,300. The U.S. says that includes at least 9 American citizens. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb reports Israel has slapped a blockade on the Gaza Strip to cut off power, food, and fuel.
Across Gaza, residents have described their fear at having nowhere to shelter from Israel's bombardment, while the Israeli military has said it's drafted a record 300,000 reservists and was, quote, going on the offensive.
Well, CBS Boston reporter Laura Hafley has more on what a local college professor is saying about relatives caught up in the Hamas attack.
My grandson has witnessed the murder of his mother.
50-year-old Deborah Matias and her husband Shlomo were killed by members of Hamas militant groups during Saturday's attacks in Israel.
The terrorists came into their place, broke through the doors, shot them.
Israel today also claimed to have stopped infiltrators from Lebanon. More members of the United Auto Workers went on strike this morning, this time against 3 Mack truck facilities. KYW-TV's Janelle Burrell.
Workers voting down a tentative 5-year deal with the company. The United Auto Workers Union represents about 4,000 employees in Pennsylvania and 2 other states. The head of the union says the two sides are still apart on work schedules and benefits.
The other striking workers are in Maryland and Florida. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. went to Philadelphia this morning to bow out of the Democratic race for president. But his campaign is not over.
I'm here to declare myself an independent candidate. An independent candidate for president of the United States. That's not all. I'm here to join you in making a new declaration of independence for our entire nation.
With new warfare in the Middle East, oil prices are higher today. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 43 points. The NASDAQ is down 49. The S&P is down about 6. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
With Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A man is dead after an officer-involved shooting in Rice Lake on Sunday evening. Barron County Sheriff's Department officials say they received a call to the 400 block of Hatton Avenue in Rice Lake around 5:30 p.m. on Sunday after reports of a woman being stabbed by a man. When they arrived at the scene, they discovered the man had barricaded himself in an apartment and refused to come out at the commands of the officers. Officials say he then charged at officers with a knife, and officers discharged their firearms at the suspect. First aid was rendered, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is set to roll back a COVID-era policy that allowed 16- and 17-year-old Wisconsinites to waive the road test requirement to get their probationary driver's license. The policy was put into place in May of 2020 to decrease in-person interactions between employees and the public. Starting on January 1st, drivers under 18 years old will once again be required to complete an in-person road test to obtain a probationary license. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the 2 oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The 5th and 6th generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board, back from a little vacation on Friday. Good to have you back, Mr. Zommers. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. It is Monday, October 9th, 2023. And of course, leading the news across the entire network today are the atrocities and the war happening in Israel. Of course, over the weekend, the terrorist group Hamas launched an unprovoked attack on Israel. There are hundreds, if now not numbering into the thousands, dead and injured. We are going to talk here at 15 past the hour with one of our friends and longtime informed, experienced analyst, Samuel Gold. He is a dual U.S. and Israeli citizen. He also happens to be a licensed attorney, both here in Wisconsin, Florida, and Israel as well. He lived in the country for, we'll ask him for sure, but around 2 years and practiced law there. He has experience with terrorist incidents in Israel, and he is back here in Wisconsin now, and he'll be joining us at 15 past the hour. Give us his perspective as both a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen and also as someone who has lived on the ground in many of these areas like Tel Aviv that were attacked over the weekend. And Sam will give us a first person, not interpretation, but a report, basically, of what it's like to live in that country and that threat of ongoing violence. Sam Gold coming on just in a few minutes here at 15 past the hour. And take your phone calls after that interview as well. What are your thoughts on this Israeli strike, this Hamas strike on Israel over the weekend? And, of course, President Joe Biden standing firm with Israel. And saying that we are going to support them in whatever way possible, which I totally agree with, and that the U.S. aircraft carrier Gerald R. Ford is now on its way and being moved into the region, not just to offer Israel support militarily, but also as a deterrent to other countries around the region who would look to take advantage of this incident. So talk to Sam about that as well. As I said, Mr. Zommers was off on Friday. Good to have you back, Mr. Zommers. How was your weekend?
It was great. I was at a wedding of two of my closest friends from college, and all of their planning that they've been doing for ages paid off. It went without a hitch, like perfectly. Fantastic. Exactly what they wanted, and everybody had a great time.
Well, very good. Glad to hear that. Glad to have you a little time off. Glad the wedding was a great success. Thanks again to Nate for filling in for Mr. Zommers on Friday. Glad to have him along with us. Good time here in Madison in terms of a takeaway from the big news, of course. But here in Madison, my sister was in town, went to the University of Wisconsin homecoming game, football game on Saturday. Thanks to our good friend Rob Wheat, who gave us the tickets. He was not able to go, so thanks, Rob, for that. I had a great time. The game was good. I think still some questions left unanswered, particularly on offense for the Badgers, but great atmosphere. And I do want to weigh in quickly because we've talked about it on this show in terms of, you know, the Badgers were getting some gruff after the first game for having a loud sound system and they supposedly adjusted it. I will tell you from a firsthand account on Friday, I think my sister is in agreement, it was just fine. There was really no major differences that we could tell. Again, maybe they've adjusted them since that first game. The only major thing was they kept a lot of the, and I'm glad they did. There's a cut of Barry Alvarez when he got named coach saying, you know, if you don't have your tickets, you better get them now because you're not going to get some before long. And there's some highlights of Russell Wilson and Ron Dayne and J.J. Watt. All that was left in the opening montage. The only difference is they got rid of U2, the song On the Streets with No Name, which is a great, it builds up. And they replaced it, I don't know, maybe it's some new hip contemporary music. But my sister and I looked at each other like, it doesn't go anywhere. Like, the music doesn't build. It doesn't, like, create excitement like the YouTube song.
That one, I guess, I don't know what the new song is. Yeah, so I can't compare it. But I will say, yes, Where the Streets Have No Name builds, but it does build pretty slowly.
Right, but they kind of, they mix it in. They used to mix it in with, a lot like, Matt LaPay calling, like, a big play. And just kind of, it built and built, and the volume got louder. And then the Badgers came out. And you're like, well, that makes sense.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to be overly critical, but I know things have to change, but I would go back to the U2 song. But other than that, I thought the atmosphere was fantastic. It was great. No problem with the new security measures, able to get in and out very quickly. And then, as it turns out, the men's hockey had their first game of the year, and their opponent were the Augustana Vikings, better known to the alumni as the Augie Doggies, which my sister went to college at Augustana for elementary and deaf education, American Sign Language. So we ended up getting tickets and going to the hockey game as well. So it was a big twofer for one guy in his 50s and one gal about to go into her 50s. And she has a thing on her, what do they call it, pedometer or whatever. We walked over 8 miles on Saturday.
Wow.
So for a couple of middle-aged people, we woke up on Sunday, we're like, oh, geez. We both need to do some more exercising. But great, the Badger men's hockey game got a nice win to kick off the new season under the new coach. And Augustana, very respectable, played very respectable for their first ever hockey game in their program. So that was the weekend. We are on to news of the day. When we come back, our friend Samuel Gold will be with us, an informed, experienced analyst calling in. He is a dual U.S. and Israeli citizen, has practiced law both here in the United States, in Wisconsin, Florida, and in Israel as well. He has lived in some of these places that are currently under attack by Hamas. We will talk to Sam Gold on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is a Monday, October 9th edition of the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 37. Some frost possible. Partly sunny and 55 on Tuesday. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high around 57. Thursday, some rain with a high around 55. It will be windy.
Right now, it's 49.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to Todd Ball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. It is Monday, October 9th, 2023, now 15 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zommers on the board. Glad to have you along with us. A busy news weekend for sure across the world, and none more so than what's happening right now as Israel was attacked over the weekend by the terrorist group Hamas. Many questions, many people wondering what it's like, what's going on, and very honored to bring in a longtime friend of mine, someone who I've admired an awful lot, Samuel Gold, who is an informed, experienced analyst. He is a dual U.S. and an Israeli citizen, also happens to be an attorney licensed both here in Wisconsin and Florida in the United States, and also in Israel. He practiced law both here and in Israel, spent time living in Israel. He joins us live via phone right now from Appleton, Wisconsin. Sam, thank you so much for taking time to join us. And first and foremost, my condolences to you and your family and the citizens of Israel.
Yes, Todd, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that introduction. And yes, it is an extremely tough time. As I think back to my time in Israel, where I lived for almost 3 years back in the area of around 2015 to 2018. To think of what all my friends that I know what must be going through their mind. I just want to clarify, yes, I am an attorney. I've had some experience in anti-terrorism law while in Israel. I'm not licensed in Israel. But worked with an American firm.
Oh, got it. Okay,
in Israel, strictly with Americans. We're hearing this unprecedented destruction, savagery. Really, this is not regular warfare. This is human carnage, which is being undertaken by Hamas, and I can only tell you that during my time in Israel, where I worked on an anti-terrorism law project related to helping United States service members in Iraq from about a decade ago, who were the subject of terrorist attacks, such as roadside bombs and suicide vests and other various different kinds of tactics. It came out yesterday. There was a report, I believe, from the Wall Street Journal by three reporters, sourced, indicating that this goes far beyond Hamas. This goes to Iran as the puppet master behind what is going on. And that Wall Street Journal report said that not only did the Iranians assist heavily in preparations for the attack, they actually gave the green light for the attack. And I know that from studying anti-terrorism law and researching and helping out over 1,000 American servicemen who were injured or the families of those who were deceased back when our troops were in Iraq, that we knew at that time that the true perpetrators, the terrorists in Iraq, we knew at that time that Iran was behind all of those activities through determining the type of attack, the location of the attack, various characteristics of the attack, the types of weapons used. We were able to find out all evidence pointed toward Iran. So when I heard that Wall Street Journal report, I was not surprised.
Mm-hmm. I think, and certainly, Sam, we're speaking with Samuel Gold, who's an informed, experienced analyst, a dual citizen of the U.S. and Israel, a practicing attorney here in Wisconsin and Florida, and spent time working for a U.S. firm in Israel, spent almost 3 years there as someone who lived on the ground in Israel. Sam, again, we appreciate you taking the time. As someone who lived there on a daily basis, you were in Tel Aviv primarily, is that correct?
Yeah, I spent half of my time in Jerusalem and the other half of my time in Tel Aviv.
What can you give our listeners a sense? Because we see this on the news, and I know it's always, can be different from people who are living on the ground, regardless of the news source. As someone who actually lived there, what was it like living in a country that has long been under siege? And is it something that you thought about on a daily basis, your safety and attacks that could come? Because this is a very small region geographically. Or is this something you just went about your daily life and you just kind of forgot about?
Well, at the time I was in Israel, and I'm sure through other times up until present, I felt safe. There was always a military presence on the street of young people who joined the Israeli Defense Forces. There was always a heavy police presence. I would walk home from Sabbath meals at 2 o'clock in the morning in areas not far from danger, and I never once felt that my security was at risk. Maybe too many people, got to think that, because this, certainly was a surprise attack.
And that's,
Go ahead. I was just gonna say that, we live in Wisconsin, we live in the United States. Distances are very long. So, if you're driving from downtown Madison to let's say Mount Hora, what is that, about 45 minutes? 35, 45 minutes to get there. You're from one place to another. You're still deep in the heart of Wisconsin. You're still deep in the heart of the United States. When I was living in Tel Aviv, if I took a 45-minute car trip to the south, I would be in the middle of where all of this action is occurring against Israel, where all the attacks are occurring. So things are, you've got to think very geographically small, geographically limited. People are very, 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 very close.
I want to, we have about four minutes left, Sam, not to cut you off. I want to go to a little speed round here because I want to get your perspective. I know you have to go jump off at the bottom of the hour. Number one, someone who's studied terrorism and knows Israel, has lived there, without getting into the deep politics of it, how Israel is renowned for their security. They actually taught security to U.S. forces. How do you think this surprise attack happened?
Yes, well, I think that there obviously is a massive intelligence failure. Where that happened, I don't know, and that will be discussed in the days ahead. Obviously, Israel missed it. The United States, which has always a large intelligence presence in the Middle East, the United States missed it. All of the NATO allies, everybody on Earth except Hamas and Iran, as far as we know, missed this.
So explain.
How did that happen?
Yes. Explain to our listeners, the Palestinian and Israeli conflict has been going on a long time. We could do a whole show on that, and perhaps we will someday. I want to focus on that there is a difference between Hamas and Palestinians, and this conflict, this war, let's call it what it is, this war, this attack by Hamas, is not Palestinians necessarily. It is a terrorist organization, correct?
It is a Palestinian terrorist organization, but I would not hold every Palestinian responsible because there are. Many people don't realize that there is a substantial Arab citizenry within Israel. Mm-hmm. They have rights as full rights as citizens, full rights to vote in elections, you can't hold those peace-loving people responsible for this. I always think back. I was injured in Israel, had to be taken by ambulance to a hospital in the heart of Tel Aviv. And in the hospital, as I was being treated, there were Israeli doctors, Palestinian doctors, Palestinian nurses, Israeli nurses, all working together to not only tend to me, but also to attend everybody else. So there are vast portions of the Palestinian population that this should not be imputed to. They're not responsible. They are citizens of Israel. This is Hamas, ultimately Iran.
Appreciate that great insight, Sam. Just about a minute and a half left here. Again, Hamas has broken the rules of war. And for those wondering, there are actually rules of war here. And there are U.S. citizens who have been, not to lessen Israeli citizens, but if you're a strictly U.S. citizen, U.S. citizens have been killed and taken captive. My understanding is Israeli forces have not been in Gaza since 2005, Sam. And here now, Israel is almost forced to go in and to hunt out these Hamas folks. I mean, is this the beginning of an escalated Israeli-Palestinian war, and that Israel has no choice but to go into?
One word answer: yes. yes, it is going to expand. And the latest reports that I saw. And you bring up, this is not just touching Israel, this is touching the United States. I'm seeing reports of up to 10 dead. Those numbers went up overnight, 10 dead Americans. Also reports of Americans amongst the hundreds of hostages. So I'm feeling it from both ends as a citizen of both countries.
Very quickly, about 45 seconds left, Sam. For those that might have friends, family in Israel now, do you feel there are safe areas for Israelis and U.S. People to take shelter in during this time? What should we be concerned about for those of our loved ones who are still there?
Yeah. Yes, you should follow the directives of the government whenever you hear and we learned this when I was there. When you hear that siren wail, you've got about a minute or two to get to the nearest bomb shelter. So Sam, always just be on alert. Be vigilant.
Very good. Sam Gold, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Your call to the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Tuttle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Violence continues today between Israel and Hamas. CBS's Holly Williams is in Sderot, where rockets rained down following this weekend's surprise attacks.
Israel's military says it's retaken control of areas close to Gaza from where Hamas launched this surprise attack. But also Israel admits that individual militants are still operating on its territory.
More than 1,200 people have died on both sides. About 4,000 union workers at Mack Trucks are now on strike. KYW-TV's Janelle Burrell's in Philly.
Workers voting down a tentative five-year deal with the company. The head of the union says the two sides are still apart on work schedules and benefits.
And Robert Kennedy has dropped his Democratic presidential bid to run as an independent in 2024.
We declare independence from the corporations that have hijacked our government.
President Biden and former President Trump are still frontrunners in the race. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A 41-year-old Rusk County man was arrested after a multi-county chase Friday night. The Marathon County Sheriff's Department says they got a call just before 9 from a person driving northbound on US 51 near Maine, where the driver said they and their vehicle had been shot. The suspect, Benny Green of Tony, fled from sheriff's deputies and drove back into Marathon County, where the Wausau Police Department tried to use spike strips to deflate his tires. A Lincoln County Sheriff's deputy ended the chase when they rammed Green's car with their cruiser in Wausau. Xcel Energy is planning a $500 million transmission line project through western Wisconsin, planning to start the line in Trumbull County and connecting it with existing transmission lines in Clark County and Rusk County. The timeline for the project is not set, but Xcel Energy doesn't plan to submit an application with the Public Service Commission until at least next summer. The company will also hold open houses from today through Thursday for residents to learn about the project. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 33 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock along with Aaron Zomers. Tattle Ball here. Happy to have you along with us. Appreciate Samuel Gold joining us live from Appleton, Wisconsin. Of course, Sam, an informed, experienced analyst, a dual U.S. and Israeli citizen, spent almost 3 years practicing law for an American company in Israel. Lived in Tel Aviv, lived in Jerusalem, and a first-hand account. And as this news broke over the weekend, and it continues to get more horrific, that Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization, has launched these unprovoked attacks on the people of Israel. And as Sam said, there's a lot of political questions down the road here that are going to have to be answered, such as in both Israel and the United States. They refer to it as the Iron Dome of security over Israel because of all the defense mechanisms, much of it from the U.S., and rightly so. But these were thousands of rockets launched by Hamas into Israel, taking heavy-duty graders and bulldozers and breaking down walls and barriers, coming by sea in boats with drones. In some places, those kind of like parachute, parasail type of things with motors on them, flying in with machine guns. They attacked, Hamas did, an Israeli festival in southern Israel, a music festival. And there is video of them dragging women, children, men through the sands, taking them hostage. Women and children. One of the women, elderly women, who was taken hostage by Hamas reportedly is a survivor of the Holocaust. I mean, my goodness. And look, there is a lot to unpack when it comes to Israeli-Palestinian relations. But to take women, children, senior citizens hostage, to kill them in an unprovoked attack, almost unspeakable. And to put this into context for us, was watching CBS this morning, and one of the folks on there was saying, one of the analysts saying, if you want to put it into context, what this means to Israel and the people, the Israelis, think of this as 7 times 9/11 to the United States. And again, don't mean to offend anyone who lost friends and family at 9/11. But it contextualizes it in terms of how can we think of what this means to the people of Israel? Why do I say 7 times the amount of 9/11? Because you look at the population of Israel versus the population of the U.S., the number of people dead now approaching 1,000 in Israel versus the little over 3,000 here in the U.S. If you equate for population and the death toll, it's basically like 7 times what we went through, the death and tragedy on 9/11 here. And then take into account the amount of people being taken hostage and that there are still Hamas militants and terrorists in Israel. And it starts to give you a sense of what the people of Israel are going through. And on the flip side of this, again, Hamas is a terrorist organization, part of Palestine, but as Sam pointed out, and rightly, and I'm so glad he said this, as someone who lived there, someone who had to go to the local hospital, there are Palestinian and Israeli doctors working together, and nurses. Not every Palestinian is a bad person or terrorist. But Hamas is a radical terrorist group that is located in Palestine, and they use, they're known for using human bodies as shields. Think of how gutless that is. Rather than following the rules of war, they use innocent civilians as shields. So it makes it very difficult to root them out. Because unlike other people in the world who says, look, there is a line here. It's called women and children. Hamas has no regard for that. And so they will set up shop close to hospitals or clinics or schools. And so what Israel's trying to do is telegraph this information to people in Gaza and say, look, we have to retaliate. We have to take out Hamas. But here's kind of more or less when we're going to do it and where. So get out of there if you're an innocent civilian. Many of those folks don't have a whole lot of places to go. But at least Israel is trying to give them the heads up. And again, Israeli forces have not occupied Gaza since 2005. But as Sam confirmed in a word, yes, Israel now has virtually no choice but to reassert itself into Gaza in order to root out these Hamas terrorists. What say you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y. Or you could also text us on the Civic Media app. Simply download it to your iPhone or Android device and text us. Happy to read your texts on the air. So I'm going to bring this up because I know it's out there and I want to address it. I was on with Jay Matinera and Greg Bach this morning, guest hosting As Goes Wisconsin in the first hour for, I don't want to call it vacationing, but she has well-deserved time off for motherhood. Kristen Bryan right now on maternity leave. And we had a caller call in, and Jane was prepared. And I brought up this article Jane referred to. There is a narrative out there right now being perpetuated by the mega right, by far right news organizations, and saying that this attack by Hamas on Israel is being fueled by money from Iran that was released to them by the Biden administration. Remember a few weeks ago, there was a hostage release by Iran, and part of the negotiation, the agreement to get those U.S. hostages released was that there was about $6 billion worth of assets that had been frozen that was released by the U.S. to Iran for purposes of food, education, humanitarian relief. And the narrative out there right now is that that money that was released is being used to fuel this attack. That is simply not true. Not just inaccurate, not true. Those monies are still being held in a bank in Qatar or Qatar, whichever you prefer. But don't take my word for it. Jane brought this up this morning. That is according to Fox News's Jennifer Griffin. Fox News on Fox News Live saying that linking Biden's Iranian deal, where the U.S. unfroze $6 billion, to the attacks on Israel on Saturday is, quote, incorrect and misleading. Fox News saying that this mega narrative is incorrect and misleading. So let's just put that out there right now. That if you hear that narrative, well, you know, it was Biden who gave him the $6 billion. That money is still frozen in a bank in Qatar. So that is bunk, all right? That's number one. Number two, what is the truth? Well, here's something from 2017. You can look it up, Washington Post, New York Times, Reuters, National Public Radio. Back in 2017, then President Trump revealed highly classified information to the Russians. What did that include? Many Israeli military secrets. Think of that. Trump allegedly, although it's since been proven, disclosed an undercover Israeli mission to penetrate their defense system. Told that to Putin, to the Russians. You don't think that that's being used in somehow? And as I said this morning on As Goes Wisconsin, Putin has every reason to help Iran, the Iranian government and Hamas attack Israel, because what does it do? It takes the focus, both from a media standpoint, money and military, has potential to take the focus off of Ukraine and onto Israel. And again, let me be clear and on the record. I stand with Israel 100%. President Biden's doing exactly the right thing, sending the U.S. aircraft carrier Gerald Ford into the region, our newest aircraft carrier. And I appreciate that he stands with Israel. against a terrorist group like Hamas. But let's not get confused here. It was Trump who gave these secrets away to Putin that potentially could be used in what's happening today. All the trails go back to Putin. Meanwhile, we need to have a strong U.S. response to this. Might have to approve more money. Can't do it because Republicans can't govern right now and we don't have a Speaker of the House. What say you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone. Stoughton, CJ in Stoughton, what say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. Boy, where to begin? President Biden freed up $6 billion. That's one thing.
I just got done saying that according to Fox News, that is untrue to say that money went to
it. I realize that. Okay, Jennifer Griffin, who I trust, but what she also said is that it's freeing up the other money that they've acquired through their oil reserves because President Biden on day one stopped enforcing sanctions on Iran. Iran oil production is up 33% in 2021, up 77% in 2022. That's from the international oil production.
But still, so there's no.
Allowed,
go ahead.
The mere fact that this happened underneath this president's watch, it's so easy. It all goes back to Afghanistan, the weakness that this president has
all right,
shown.
Well, let's say this, CJ. Let's say this for a second. All right. Do you also acknowledge that Trump gave Israeli military secrets to Putin and Russia back in 2017, as widely reported and confirmed?
You know, he tore up the deal between Iran and the United States. This president has tried
to Trump gave
Iran
Israeli secrets to Putin, CJ. He gave Israeli military secrets.
What did the president of Iran, the premier leader of Iran, say about the $6 billion?
I don't care what he said. If you're gonna take the word of the president of Iran over U.S. Military forces, then you know I think we have a difference of opinion. But thanks for the call, CJ. Always appreciate it. Let's go up to Jean in Eau Claire. Jean, what say you?
Hi. I won't attack the speaker, but I will attack the message. And
appreciate that.
I think CJ down under could be a very good person, but he's kind of acts bullyish, and I think that's why everybody gets mad at him. If he just gives his opinion, that's nice, but he goes after everybody. So anyway, so I understand where I have to practice that myself. So anyhow, thank you for bringing up this topic, because today I was watching because I thought, oh, balls, here's a house in a mess, you know, and this going on. And then I was thinking to myself, you know, they called it a 911. And then they said that they have really good security.
Hey, Gene, you know, don't go to just hang on a second. I got up against a break. We'll finish it on the other side, Gene. Don't go anywhere. We see you on the lines back after this, the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 37. Some frost possible. Partly sunny and 55 on Tuesday. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high around 57. Thursday, some rain with a high around 55. It will be windy.
It's 51 at our studios.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, Monday, October 9th. Zommer is on the board, All Ball here on the mic. Glad to have you along with us. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Talking about the war on Israel, the strike by Hamas over the weekend. I'm certainly standing with Israel 100%. Support Joe Biden sending a military presence there. And saying that we stand with Israel, and the fact that Republicans cannot elect a speaker, therefore it is limiting what the U.S. can do to help support Israel in this war. Going back to the phone lines, Gene Eau Claire. Gene, so sorry I had to cut you off. I was up against a break. Go ahead, please.
Okay, that helped me get my thoughts in order a little bit faster. Anyway, when this occurred, you know, and of course I stand with Israel, but I just, you know, they were saying Israel has outstanding intelligence. They don't know how this got through. Mm-hmm. And then they brought up, you know, this is their 9/11. I thought to myself, 9/11. Yeah, we were warned about 9/11. You know what I mean? And we had great intelligence and we had great, you know, military, and that happened to us. And then I see McCarthy on the floor talking about this and maybe reconsidering running again for his position. And he blamed Biden administration. Now, this something like this don't occur overnight, and Biden has nothing to do with this. But it's so, I'm like Sherlock. My family calls me Sherlock. The pieces don't go together here, yeah. You know. Well, and then to blame Biden politically, I mean, most people get together and say, hey, let's help these guys. They were under attack.
Right.
No. Republicans got to blame Biden. What is the problem here? So anyway, I had to bring out, thank you for this topic so much and keep up the great work.
Appreciate you, Gene.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Gene. I want to get through the calls if we can before the top of the hour. Let's go down to Milwaukee. I believe Ron was next. Ron in Milwaukee, appreciate you listening. What say you?
Yeah, hi, Todd. We shouldn't forget that Iran, even though it's a bad actor, has plenty of reasons to be a bad actor. Against Israel and the United States. The United States CIA in the 50s staged a coup that replaced an elected government with a purported royalty who was faithful to the West. And that kind of helped foment the 1979 revolution. And the mullahs that have come along really hated the United States after that, took hostages and everything else. Well, what else has happened? Well, the Iranians were busy developing their nuclear weapons capability, and nobody wants to see that. So, well, everybody was negotiating, including the U.S., to try to curb their program. Israel helped out by continuing to bomb their facilities, you know, under stealth attacks, but it was pretty obvious where the attacks were coming from. And so it took a long time, but after a while, and I believe it was in the Obama administration, we we forged a deal with the Iranian government, cutting back on their ability to process and enriched uranium. Well, Trump got in office and immediately canceled that deal. Mm-hmm. So they began enriching uranium again. So, go ahead.
No, it's certainly a long path, a long road. It's complicated. But again, I look at what happened over the weekend. There is no reason for Hamas, a terrorist organization, to kill women and children, take hostages, and do what they did. There's just, I don't care what's happened in the past. There's no rationale to that other than just to be terrorists.
I agree.
So appreciate the call, Ron. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in the sack. Mark, what say you?
It's just the horrific attack. I mean, Hamas is doing this is just beyond the pale. But I'm tired of them blaming Biden for this happening. I mean, this was planned within Hamas, probably with the assistance of the Russians and perhaps Iran. I don't know if there's a direct connection between the two, but I mean that. Yeah, there likely was something, and what happened, you know, when Trump actually gave that information to the Russians, how much damage did that do to the intelligence operations that Israel had in place? And yes, it was 7 years ago that he did that, or 6 years ago, I guess now. But Trump, you know, laid mines out for our foreign policy that we'll be reaping the harvest of that for decades to come. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm tired of hearing CJ bring up Afghanistan when it was Donald Trump who made the agreement with the Taliban, setting aside, you know, cutting out the Afghan government and releasing 5,000 terrorists in back into Afghanistan, mm-hmm. who probably were the ones who helped in the murder of our 13 service people there in Afghanistan. We were trying to evacuate as many people as possible, which Donald Trump should have started right when his agreement was signed. The ink was still wet on the agreement he made with the Taliban.
Right.
Started getting people from Afghanistan to the United States then, but he did not do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm tired of CJ flapping his mouth, bringing up the 13 dead servicemen in Afghanistan. When Donald Trump said those that would say about those people, they were just suckers.
Right.
I mean, that's what Trump is on the record of saying. They were just suckers.
Mark, always appreciate the call. Sorry, up against the clock here. I want to get in Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, exactly what Mark just pointed out. The situation with what did Trump give up, if you want to play that game. What did he give up? And the only thing I can figure, give the Republicans a little bit of credit, though, just a little bit. They've moved away from blaming Jimmy Carter for everything foreign and domestic that's wrong in this country. They've morphed over to Joe Biden now. The statute of limitation must have run out on Carter.
Right. Well, I mean, the poor man is in hospice care, so I guess they decided to move on. They have some semblance of decency. Great call, Dick. Really
Very
appreciate
little,
it. Right. Thank you so much, Dick. Really appreciate the call. Let's go quickly to Katrina in Milwaukee. Karina, you got about 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, I think that what we really need to think about it is to learn that what happened to the government when they do nothing else but to just argue to each other and try to put the stick in the wheels of each other machine, because this is exactly what happened to the Israel. They were distracted and they didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's going to happen to America, because the only Democrats and Republicans do is to try to throw the gassing into each other front yard. They mm-hmm. have to think about the Rome,
yeah.
not you people, a whole freaking country, please. And this is what's happened, even to the country with the best spies in the world.
Yeah,
and that's what we should learn.
That's a great point, Karina. Absolutely a great point. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Karina in Milwaukee. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Off of the text line from the Civic Media app, you can download it on your Android or Apple device. Jim from Appleton, great question to take us into the next hour. He says, do you think that the resurgence of the, quote, in-your-face, quote, anti-Semitism, especially in the United States, contributed to the timing of the Hamas attacks when they did? I'll answer that on the other side. Great question. Again, it goes to this narrative, the words matter. We'll talk about that. Take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.